You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In the next story, I sat down and had a chat with Gary Taylor, the CEO of the Environmental Defence Society. We spoke about the state of New Zealand's land, air and sea in regard to the upcoming election and what can be done better. To start, Taylor ran us through the main areas New Zealand needs to focus on.
Well, let's start with air or atmosphere. I think obviously the key issue and the biggest environmental issue in fact facing the planet is climate change. And so what we're looking for there from political parties, I think the main outcome we'd like to see is commitment to the idea of creating a climate commission. And a climate commission would provide independent planning and oversight for the transition to a low carbon economy. If we're going to meet the Paris Agreement commitments, we need to get to somewhere near net zero greenhouse gas emissions by the middle of the century. So a climate commission would be the key thing on the climate change topic.
Is anyone actually proposing a climate commission?
Yes, my understanding is that the Greens, Labor, New Zealand First, the Opportunities Party and the Māori Party are all committed to that in some shape or form. The National Party at our conference last week said that it thought that the idea had potential legs and it was thinking about it.
Okay, so that looks like it's coming then. So at least one of these kind of issues is going to get some forerunner. And so then on to land.
Well, I think the key thing about land is, you know, the loss of biodiversity. New Zealand still has this appalling track record of biodiversity loss, which started, you know, around about 1200 AD when people first arrived, and then a second flush when colonists arrived from Europe, where the pace of extinction picked up. We have this unique biodiversity in New Zealand because, you know, our ecology evolved over 80 million years of isolation, and we don't have mammalian predators, or we didn't have mammalian predators until people arrived. So I think that the key thing there is probably proper funding for the Department of Conservation's core budget, a commitment to properly fund and resource the predator-free New Zealand target or campaign, and I think also protecting New Zealand's outstanding landscapes, which are, of course, an important part of our tourism offering, tourism now being our biggest export earner, bigger than dairying.
Yeah, and just touching on tourism, taxes towards tourists coming in, is that something EDS supports?
Yes, we're very supportive of the idea of a border tax for incoming tourists that would go into a combination of improving the infrastructure for tourists. You know, to be frank about it, more toilets, particularly in the high volume areas, but also some of that money going to improving our management of our natural world.
The most probably controversial we've got at the moment is fresh water. So there's been a lot of policies coming out, most notably Labor with their tax on aquifer water. Where does EDS stand on this?
Well, I think, it's really interesting, the fresh water debate. This is the first time since the early 80s when, the clearing of native forests, state-owned native forests, became a very hot political topic. So the freshwater debate, this is kind of redolent of that. I've never seen a topic so front and centre of the political argument as freshwater. So clearly there's we've made a lot of improvements in freshwater management over the last few years. We've got a national policy statement that's been through three iterations now, providing guidance and setting environmental bottom lines. But pricing, I think, is something whose day has come. Pricing is a very useful tool when you've got a resource that you want to encourage to best use, and it's also a very useful tool when it comes to trying to reduce pollution.
I think it's quite interesting. And to me, it's almost a nationwide, not in my backyard, as in everyone thinks we should kind of, you know, have some kind of price on it, but as long as we're not paying for it.
Yeah, well, I think, commercial uses, commercial users of fresh water, other than reticulated fresh water, should pay. Otherwise, they're just taking a public good, using it for private profit, and you know, there's no return. I think Labor's idea of recycling the funding to regional councils to help with cleanup is a good idea, and that kind of shows that it's not really a tax in the sense that it's not going to government. It's going into more cleanup funding, which we desperately need.
Just an actual interesting point on that. Do you think that regional governments should get more power and money in their controlling of their areas?
Well, I think this goes to the question of whether we're administering our environment across all of those domains in the best possible way. And we produced a book earlier this year that demonstrated that the current system isn't working particularly well, and regional councils aren't really implementing their responsibilities as well as they could. Some of them have got conflicts, like in Hawke's Bay, where the Hawke's Bay Regional Council was proposing the Ruatanifa Dam at the same time as it was the regulator, the environmental regulator for fresh water. So I think we do have to have a bit of a bottom-up look at the resource management system, and it was good at our conference last week to hear the Greens commit to a Royal Commission on Resource Management to have a fundamental reset of our resource management system, which had its genesis back in the late 80s. The Resource Management Act was passed in 1991. It's kind of now clunky and slow and not responsive to a more rapidly changing world and a more diverse population, bigger population pressures, more cows. So we need something that's fit for purpose for the next 30 years, and the world will be a much different place in 30 years' time than it is today.
Indeed. And finally, the topic on marine. What's the go on that?
Well, the marine environment is kind of the forgotten environment in a way. You know, it's the last frontier of attention from environmental managers. There's a lot happening out there now. We've got offshore mining proposals coming through. There's a lot of controversy over the expansion of salmon farming and outstanding natural landscapes in the Marlborough Sounds, the use of ministerial override powers to make that happen. There's a lot of pressures on places like the Hauraki Gulf, which is badly degraded through sediment runoff. So I think we're looking for a fresh approach to managing the marine area, and the key technical tool for doing that, I think, is marine spatial planning, where you actually think about what should happen where, and you think about the environmental effects of activities in a strategic kind of way rather than ad hoc. And I think finally on marine, the other big thing, of course, is the sustainability of our fisheries. And you know, it seems very odd to us that, you know, we still allow bottom dredging, which is very destructive of the bottom ecology of our offshore oceans and seas. You know, that's a technology that developed 150 years ago, and it ought to be possible to catch fish without, destroying the bottom ecology.
I think you might have accidentally plugged Labor then with a fresh approach. and so finally, in terms of these kind of key areas, which policies and which parties are doing really well on these key points? So for instance, who's going to be funding DOC? And especially with the kind of loss of diversity, who's really looking to implement things for predator-free 2050?
Well, in a way, they all are. You know, this is where it gets a bit nuanced, and it's actually quite encouraging from my point of view that you know, we don't have kind of any anti-environment parties in Parliament anymore, except maybe ACT. You know, even New Zealand First at our conference was espousing some pretty progressive environmental policies. National has kind of done, you know, a sort of a moderately reasonable job over the last 9 years. You know, you can't deny that. There's a Blue-Greens faction within that party that, you know, I'd certainly want to encourage to keep going. But Labor and the Greens together have probably, by any objective analysis, got, you know, the best environmental policies collectively. But, you know, I mean, the environment isn't the only thing that people vote on. So I don't think there's any sort of danger in the offerings that the political parties have that we should be especially concerned about. It's looking at the detail, at who's promising most, and I'd certainly encourage people to, you know, to look at that online.
Quite strangely optimistic for the environment. I think it's quite a good time to be an environmentalist.
I think it is. I mean, I've been in, you know, doing this for years, and you know, we're kind of, we now do have the environment front and centre of political attention. It's now no longer an also-ran kind of topic that gets drowned out by arguments about, you know, student loans and tax and housing. I mean, those are all important issues, of course, but at least the environment is on the table there as an issue as well. And that's, you know, that's of concern to my generation because, you know, we really want to leave things in a better state than we found them. And, you know, we'd like the future generation to kind of be alert and active in campaigning to make sure we don't lose way.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.